Good morning. Years ago, a large statue of Christ was erected in the Andes on the border between Argentina and Chile. It is called the Christ of the Andes. The statue symbolizes a pledge between the two countries, Argentina and Chile, that as long as that statue stands, there will be peace between the two nations. However, it did not take long after the statue was erected for some conflict to begin to brew between the two nations. Why? Because the statue faces Argentina, but has its back towards the country of Chile. And so the Chileans felt that somehow they were spited, that somehow the Argentinians played a dirty trick on them. And this began to brew as a strong conflict between the two nations. Until one reporter, one newspaper reporter wrote an article that solved the whole situation. He saved the day. In an editorial that not only satisfied the people but made them laugh, he simply said, "The people of Argentina need more watching over than the Chileans." This newspaper man chose to deal with this conflict through humor and wisely was able to calm the tensions between the people, the citizens of both nations. In Proverbs 25, Solomon gives us some important instructions with dealing with conflict. And so the title of my message this morning is Dealing with Conflict. And as we continue our study in the book of Proverbs, I'm going to invite you to please turn to Proverbs chapter 25. And please stand with me as we read verses 8 through 12. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 8 through 12. Beginning in verse 8, "Do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor, and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you asking that you speak to each one of our hearts this morning. We thank you that you are a God of wisdom, that you are a God of knowledge, that you are the creator of all, that you created us. You created us uniquely, and you understand us, and you know us, and so you understand the fact that our human nature often finds itself in conflict with other people. And in our imperfection as men and women, as human beings, tempers sometimes flare and we have disagreements and we have arguments. But you've given us throughout Scripture in many different places guidelines on how to deal with that conflict. And this morning, we're going to be looking at one of those that's given to us here in Proverbs chapter 25 by Solomon. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help us to apply these principles to our lives, that you would help us, Lord, to deal with conflict in a way that is honoring and is glorifying to you. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. So how do we deal with conflict? Because the reality is, we face conflict, don't we? Conflict always pops up. It may not be a statue of Jesus in the Andes that causes our conflict, but things will always happen. There will always be circumstances that bring conflict in our family relationships, in our work relationships, in our neighborhood, and even in our church. How do we deal with that? How would God have us deal with these conflicts? Well, the first point that I see that Solomon gives us here in verse 8 is deal with conflict patiently. Let's read verse 8. Do not go hastily to court. For what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? In other words, Solomon here is telling us, don't make rash decisions in the middle of conflict. When you're emotional, when you've got a hot head, when you're angry, when you're upset, that is not the right time to make decisions as to how you will deal with conflict. We have a warning in verse 8 not to be too quick about taking another person to court. Not to be too quick about taking those types of steps when there is a conflict. Solomon tells us that this type of action, to impatiently or in a rash mode, taking somebody to court and taking legal action because of a conflict can lead to our own shame. How can that lead to our own shame? Well, just giving some scenarios here doesn't necessarily come from the passage, but I think some ways that making this type of rash decision to go to court, to sue somebody, to respond to conflict in this way can bring shame to our lives, can bring shame to ourselves. Maybe in your haste to take an individual to court for frivolous reasons, you end up losing your case and being disgraced. Maybe in the process of taking somebody to court and your lack of patience in dealing with the conflict, it clouds your judgment. And you take your neighbor to court for something that could have been resolved in a better way. Maybe there was a better way to deal with this situation, but because you were not patient, because you made hasty decisions, because you didn't take the time to think about and pray about and seek the proper counsel, you took something further than it really needed to go. Maybe in the process of suing your neighbor, things come out about you that you didn't want anybody else to know. Because often when conflicts are dealt with in a public manner, a lot of dirty laundry is aired on both sides that brings shame. Maybe just the fact that you were willing to destroy a relationship over a conflict becomes a disgrace to you. Maybe the fact that you put this particular situation, whatever it was that they did, whatever it was that they took from you, whatever caused this conflict, getting even and making things right was more important to you than that relationship that is now being broken by your reaction to that conflict. So Solomon says, don't act hastily. Be patient. Deal with conflict patiently. Whatever the specific reason for this disgrace, Solomon warns us that taking someone to court in haste will end up, in one way or another, as a disgrace to us. To act in haste in the face of conflict, according to Solomon, is foolishness. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11 tells us, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. So I think we can apply this principle even to cases where you don't end up in court. No matter what the actual conflict is, if we are too quick to vent, if we are too quick to respond, if we are too quick to take action, if we are hasty in our desire to get back at the individual that inflicted the pain, at the individual that we perceive as causing the conflict, Solomon tells us in chapter 9, verse 11, that it is foolish, that a fool vents his feelings. A fool reacts in impulse, but a wise man is patient and holds back his words. See, the goal of conflict resolution should be to seek peace, not vengeance. I'm going to state that again. The goal of conflict resolution should be to seek peace, not vengeance. Often we are too quick to desire vengeance. We want to get back. We want to make things right. We want restitution. We want that person to pay for what they did. But in reality, our main concern should be to bring about peace. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 11 says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." Do we seek peace in the middle of conflict? Is that our priority? Is that is what is most important to us, seeking peace? Or are we more concerned about restitution and getting back at the person that has harmed us, the person who has created the conflict? Before we take our neighbor to court, let's give the opportunity for a peaceful resolution. Let's take time to pray about and to seek God's will and God's direction as to how we can resolve this in a better way. Resolving the conflict peacefully and healing the relationship should always, for a Christian, take priority over restitution. If an individual has been cheated or harmed, restitution should follow. Restitution is important. I'm not saying that that's not important. But it will always be much easier to deal with restitution and to get to a place where restitution is able to happen if the conflict is not allowed to escalate. See, the problem is we often respond quickly, respond harshly, respond without thinking, without praying. We respond in haste, and we make the situation worse. Have you ever seen that happen? Have you ever been guilty of that? I have. We're much likely to receive the restitution if we do not cause escalation. So be patient. As Christians, let's pursue peace whenever possible, especially if the conflict is with a brother or sister in Christ. Solomon also goes on to tell us to deal with conflict privately, verses 9 through 10. "Debate your case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hear it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined." In other words, avoid airing disagreements in public. This is especially important in the body of Christ. This is especially important within the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 says, Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Scripture is very clear in many places that as believers in Christ, as members of the body of Christ, we should always seek to deal with conflicts internally and in a private way. If you can't resolve the issue on your own, seek the help of godly Christians in your church. Seek the help of your church leaders. Let's go to Matthew chapter 18, if you would go there with me. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. I do not have it in your outline, but I encourage you to put that passage there. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20 give us the steps as Christians that we are to follow when there is conflict, when somebody has harmed us, or when somebody is sinning. What are the steps as Christians that we are to take? Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20 says, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear, then tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a brethren in the tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by the Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them." Verse 20, a lot of times, often we use out of context. Verse 20 is in the context of dealing with conflicts within the body of Christ. So when there is a conflict, when there is a sin committed against by one brother to another, and that individual that has been that is the victim or has received that offense goes to that individual and patiently and privately, as we have seen in Proverbs chapter 25, when they follow those steps and the person does not repent, you bring other people into the conflict, because when we are doing this biblically and we're doing this together as a body, when two or three of us are together in dealing with this issue biblically, God will work. So we need to make sure that when we deal with conflict, that we deal with it patiently, that we deal with it privately, and that we do it in a biblical way. If the person does not respond to us directly, bring two or three other godly people that together we can go before, again, the process of keeping it privately. Deal with it in a small group with godly people that can help us deal with that situation. If it's not dealt with that way, then go to the church leaders, and then it goes to a church discipline situation. But often, because we are not patient, often because we are not willing to do it privately and confidentially, and many of us, probably all of us to some extent, are prone to gossip and to other people, before you can even begin these steps, the conflict has already spread throughout the church and the community. Am I right? So Solomon says, deal with it patiently, deal with it privately. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 5 through 6 says, "I say this to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? Not even one? who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers? Here the Apostle Paul is saying, don't you have the wisdom within your own church, within the body of Christ, to deal with conflicts and issues within the church, that you have to take this conflict to judges that are unbelievers? So here we see the Apostle Paul reinforcing what Solomon is telling us in this, in these verses, that we should deal with these situations privately, that we should deal with these situations internally. Now, I do understand that there are certain things that law requires. There are mandated reporters. There are certain things that we are required to go to the law for. But when it comes to internal conflicts, we should always seek to deal with things within the body of Christ. We should always seek to deal with things patiently, not hastily. We should always seek to deal with things privately, dealing with a small group that can work together to try to bring restoration to this situation before words start spreading throughout the church, throughout the community, and next thing you know, people are taking sides, and now there's big conflict. It is a poor testimony when the world looks in at the body of Christ and sees bickering and fighting. Our love for one another is what should identify us as children of God. In John chapter 13, verse 35, it says, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you," what? "Love one another." It is sad when a group of believers is known not for their love, but for their quarreling. I was actually in a community once where somebody said to me, "You see that church over there? That's the fighting church. Those people are always fighting." That church throughout time has always been known as a fighting church. Everybody in the community knows that church as the fighting church. What kind of testimony do they have? We are to be known, we are to be identified by our love. Oh, how that saddens God's heart when his children are known for fighting and not known for loving. We are to be identified by our love. See, verse 10 tells us that public quarreling destroys testimonies. Let's look at verse 10 again. Verse 10 says, "Lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined." It damages your personal testimony. How effective will you be at reaching your neighbors, your coworkers, your relatives, people that you interact with on a regular basis? How effective will you be at being able to witness to them and reach them for Christ if they look at you as a hypocrite? Well, Pastor, why would they look at me as a hypocrite? Well, if Jesus said that we are to be identified by our love, but all we demonstrate with our lives is that we are constantly fighting with others, that's hypocrisy. If we call ourselves Christians, then our lives, our actions, our words should be characterized by love for one another, by compassion towards the lost, not by quarrels, not by bickering, not by dissension. Even the world knows that the distinction of a Christian should be their love for others. And when you prove yourself to be a quarrelsome person, you have lost the ability to effectively witness to them. Matthew 5:13 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." We are to be salt. Our role as Christians, as children of God, is to attract people. To be seasoning in this world, to attract them and also to preserve. And we do that through our love. We do that through our love for one another. We do that with our compassionate love towards others, towards the lost, those that are not saved. And when we lose that saltiness, when we lose that love, when we lose that attractiveness as Christians, when we lose that ability to help preserve our community through our testimony and our example, it says we become useless. We're no longer able to do that which God has called us to do. When we have lost our saltiness, we are no longer a witness for Christ. So it damages our personal testimony. It also damages the testimony of the local church. I've had a number of people over the years tell me that they will not step foot in a particular church because of one person that goes there. I've heard that on many occasions. And they have associated, fairly or not, the actions of one person with the entire local body of believers. Sometimes all it takes is one person to lose their saltiness, and it affects the entire congregation. We are called to love with our words and with our actions. But when we begin to quarrel, when we begin to have strife one with another, we lose our saltiness and we damage the reputation of the local church. Third, it damages the testimony of Christ. Many times the greatest deterrent for people coming to Christ is Christians who preach Jesus with their lips, but deny him with their life and with their actions. I remember back when I drove tractor trailer for FedEx. There was one individual who was the trainer. So whenever a new driver came on, they had to ride with him for, I think, like 2 weeks before they could be on their own. And he was always preaching at people, always preaching, always preaching. He would always have, you know, Christian evangelists and preachers playing the whole time that they were in the truck with them, and always, you know, just pushing them. But his life did not reflect Christ. And I can remember so many drivers making the comment to me, multiple drivers, that he drove them further and further away from even wanting to be a Christian because what he was saying did not match his life. And so when we who are called to love one another, we who are called to live in harmony as a body, as a church, when we allow conflict to enter into our midst, into our lives, we not only ruin our own personal testimony, we not only ruin the testimony of the local church, but we ruin the testimony of Christ because people say, if that's what a Christian is like, I want nothing to do with that. Far too many times I have heard people say, if that's what being a Christian is, I want nothing to do with Christ. So So we are to deal with conflict patiently. We are to deal with conflict privately. And the final point is we are to deal with conflict prudently, verses 11 through 12. Verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. In other words, think before you speak. Take some time to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to aid you in responding to the conflict. Ask Him to give you the right words, to give you the right response, because in verse 11, Solomon says, a word fitly spoken. In other words, if we respond in the right way, if we respond with the right attitude, if we respond with the correct words, we can avoid escalating the conflict. And so not only do we need to be patient, but we need to go to God and ask Him, ask the Holy Spirit to help us know how to respond. I have found myself in conflict situations before where honestly, I did not know how to respond. And I'm sure you have as well. You know, and as I think through my mind, if I say this, they're going to say that. If I say this, they're going to respond in this way. And all we can do is say, God, you know my heart, you know my desire. You know I don't want this situation to escalate. You know that I want to communicate even in my response, my love for this individual. Please give me the words. Give me the proper response. Give me the proper attitude. Give me the right spirit. And you know what? God promises when we do that, when we go to Him, when we truly, sincerely ask Him to guide us and to give us the right attitude and to give us the right words and to give us the right spirit as we deal with that conflict, He promises to do that. Where does He promise to do that? In Luke chapter 21, verse 15, says, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. Now, in keeping within the context of this passage in Luke, I want to explain the passage because I don't want to be guilty of taking this passage out of its context. This particular passage in Luke 21 is talking about the last days. And it's speaking of the last days in the midst of great persecution against the church. But if God can give His children the words to say in the midst of great conflict leading up to the final battle, leading up to the end of the world, the final battle between good and evil, God can give us the words to say in our daily conflicts as well. I believe this is a principle that can apply to us. So even though this is a specific promise that God has given for a specific time in the future to believers, I believe God's word is true yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And God's principles are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so I believe we can hold on to that promise today as well. And if I may add one more thing concerning the context of that verse, I believe we are in the beginning stages of those final days. I truly do. And so I do believe that Luke 21, though we may not be in that specific time period in which Jesus is referring to, I believe there is no greater time in our history as a church in which this verse can apply to us today in the conflicts that we deal with. God can give us the words to be able to respond to conflict, to respond to adversaries, to respond to those who may not be treating us properly. Quarrels quickly escalate when we respond with careless words. However, when we respond with carefully chosen and fitting words, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can quickly de-escalate the conflict. That's what Solomon is telling us in verses 11 through 12. Let's read those again. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. These things that he is describing in verses 11 and 12, apples of gold and settings of silver, earrings of gold, these are precious things. These are good things. These are things that are desirable. So even a response to a conflict situation, if it is dealt properly, if it is dealt prudently with the help of the Holy Spirit, if he is the one giving us the words, if he is the one helping us have the right attitude in our response, even our response to somebody who has rebuked you can be a blessing to them, can be something beneficial to them, can be something precious to them. So our response is critical. Our response is important. The right words can de-escalate a conflict. And a great example is the one that I gave you as the introduction to my sermon. The Argentinian people need looked over more. They need him more. They need him watching over them. We're okay. The right response can de-escalate the situation. So pray for wisdom before you confront. Pray for wisdom before you confront. Verses 11 and 12 tell us that a wise rebuke is valuable to the one being rebuked. They may not realize it immediately, but eventually they will. I'm going to put my daughter on the spot. I've had to rebuke her in her life. I'm sure every parent has as well. And at the time, she probably did not think that what I was saying was valuable. And maybe she still doesn't. But I can honestly say I can look at the young lady that my daughter has become, and I can see that even though sometimes those rebukes initially were not accepted as valuable, I can see that they have transformed her. And I can look at her and be proud of the young lady that she has become. Those rebukes may have not felt very good at the time, but now they have become as golden apples. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given him. If you find yourself in a conflict situation, if you find yourself knocking heads with somebody, with a coworker, a brother or sister, somebody here in the church, be patient in your response. Do not be hasty. Do not respond out of instinct. Keep the conflict private. If you need to bring in some advisors because you're not able to deal with it, that's biblical, but make sure you do it in a biblical way. Deal with the conflict prudently, understanding that you cannot do this on your own, that you need the help of the Holy Spirit, that you need his guidance, that you need his help, that you need his wisdom, that you need him to give you the right words, to give you the right attitude, to give you the right response. Ask God for wisdom. If we know the danger of escalating a conflict, and we care about our public testimony, if we want to behave in a manner that is pleasing and honoring to God, why would we go into a situation where we know God's wisdom is needed and not ask for it? If we know that not responding with the proper words and the proper attitude is going to escalate the situation and make it worse, why don't we take the time first to go to God and to ask for his help, to ask for his wisdom, to ask for his guidance in dealing with this conflict? I believe that if every Christian spent some time on his or her knees before going to their brother or sister with an issue, there would be a lot less conflict within the body of Christ. Conflict is never easy to deal with. But when we handle it God's way, by dealing with it patiently instead of flying off the handle, by dealing with it privately instead of airing our dirty laundry for all to see, and dealing with it prudently instead of speaking careless words, but instead seeking the help of the Holy Spirit to guide us in our response, I believe we can come to a peaceful resolution much faster than we would expect. And I believe that we can keep conflicts from escalating in our lives, in our relationships, in our families, in our marriage relationship, and even within the church, without causing harm to our testimony, the testimony of the local church, and first and foremost to Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this challenge. Lord, dealing with conflict is not easy. It isn't even a pleasant topic. We have all found ourselves in conflict situations, and we've all experienced conflicts escalating and getting out of hand. But Lord, your word tells us how to prevent that. Solomon gives us wise counsel on how to deal with these conflict situations from the very beginning in order to keep them from escalating out of control. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us to deal with conflict as you desire, that we would approach conflict patiently, that we would not respond hastily in anger, emotionally, but we would take the time to calmly think through the situation, that we would respond privately, that you would help us not to gossip, that you would help us not to escalate the situation by bringing others that have no part and should have no part in this conflict in the situation, and that you would help us to respond prudently. And the best way to respond prudently is to rely on your Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us through every step, that we would seek your wisdom, that we would seek your direction, that we would truly go to our knees in prayer, asking for you to give us the words, to give us the right attitude, to give us the proper approach, so that we can deal with these conflicts biblically and not escalate the situation. All this we ask in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.